All right, hello and welcome to Bleed Geek episode number 8. I am Mike Earl.
And I'm Patrick McGibbon.
And we're obviously missing Randy today. He's not with us because he's too cool, I guess. I don't know. But as usual, we will be discussing the tech news of the week. This week, I don't even know the date. July 14th, I'm going to throw that out there. I don't know if it's right. May or may not
July
be right.
July 18th.
Yeah, but if you're listening, you obviously know we record live every week, generally at 8 p.m. Central Standard on Thursdays. So you should always join us if you can. You can find our live stream on our site, bleedgeek.com/live. And also, if you have been paying attention and listening to our iTunes, you may have noticed last week's episode never showed up. So all the more importance of listening live because...
I think Mike can explain that one.
Because my computer ate it.
It
disappeared.
And then shat it on his foot. So,
yeah.
And he was kind of mad about it.
Not a happy situation, but that's why you should listen live. Because
exactly.
Then you get to hear things.
Yeah, for all those that came in for episode 7's recording, well, you're going to be the only ones that know of its existence.
I think there was two or three of you.
We cannot recreate that. We can only make a tribute to episode 7 in some future. So maybe, I don't know. Christmas special, if we can tolerate each other until then, we can have the tribute to episode 7.
Mere months away.
So, only a few months. But we will go on, and there's always tons of news to talk about. So
there's no looking back.
There isn't. Not at this point.
And if you've been following along, you know we've been having a contest. So we will be announcing the winner of that. Would have been Josh Nyman is going to be winning those headphones.
Cue applause. Where's that?
Congratulations to Josh,
a
I guess.
Of Bose earbud headphones.
All right.
Market value
$70.
$70. There
See,
we go.
See, you guys maybe should have played along and you could have also had those.
$70.
That's all it takes.
It is.
But if you're visiting the site, make sure you also sign up for our newsletter.
Newsletter, correct.
Because you'll find out what our next contest is, and maybe you could win something just as cool.
And always check bleedgeek.com for the latest postings. As of today, we have a new posting on Netflix, which we will be starting off with shortly here. But there's also tech postings, and we're also looking for contributors always. So if you have any spare time, love to write, love technology, we're always open to, you know, posting your stuff on here. It gives you a little bit of a sounding board, a little soapbox to stand on. And, you know, obviously there's a little bit of an agreement that you got to sign when you become a contributor. But if you're interested, call us, which I don't have the number. But if you want to email us at fans@bleedgeek.com to inquire more about being a contributor, please do so.
Yeah, let us know.
Yep, let us know.
Or if you'd like to sponsor a show, or if you have someone that you know that would, or a company that you work for would like a little cheap ad space.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at, like, I haven't looked at the statistics lately, but 250 just starting out, maybe on some of the older episodes. Kind of a little bit of a latency. I don't know if that's much to be expected with podcasting, but... But we are in need of sponsors, so.
But it's still something. So, I mean, 250 listens, I mean, that's not bad.
So, yeah.
For us just hanging out.
We will sponsor you.
But I think that's all for our current news, so I think we can just head into it, huh?
I say so. So, top on the list here, we got Netflix.
I think everyone's seen this in and around the news lately, because I think it's even hit more of the mainstream news. I think sometimes our idea of news is a little mixed up, I guess. I think things that we think should be mainstream necessarily aren't, but I think this one hit a little more of a mainstream nerve. As you all know, I'm sure, Netflix is raising their rates. Well, sort of raising, sort of taking their currently one service and splitting it into two services. Right now, you can get a streaming-only subscription for $7.99, I believe. And you can add $2 to that. And for $9.99, you can also get one disc via mail. Oh, one disc at a time. You know, unlimited amount of them, but as fast as you can watch them and throw them back in the mail. But they're taking that and making it two separate services, one streaming and one with the disc service. Both of those being $7.99 each. But if you still want to do both, you're going to have to pay for both of them, and it'll be $16. Which is where the anger comes.
Yes, the anger comes over $6.
Right. And the funny thing to me is how it's always listed as a 60% markup, which seems astronomical, but it's $6.
It is $6. Someone had posted saying that it's the price of probably a tall Frappuccino.
Right. People buy those every morning.
A month. Right. So you can. I don't know. It's $6.
You guys have Netflix, right? Pat?
I have Netflix. Yes, we do. We have actually both streaming services that are available. Yes. Well, actually, I shouldn't say just the only two. It'd make it sound like it's just the only two, but we do have Hulu Plus.
Oh.
And then also Netflix.
Okay.
But we completely cut the cord with cable, like TV cable services, and then just went straight internet. And we're just doing the two streaming services. I also throw in the mix Amazon with their video on demand. I don't have their premium service. But you can get, free shows. There's sometimes the pilots are free, or you can
just
kind of the a la carte, pay as you go type model.
And there's always iTunes if you're willing to pay for it too, but that's a pay per episode type thing instead of a pay per the service. But besides Hulu Plus, there really isn't any competitors in the streaming. Even Hulu Plus, I think they're at the same price point at $7.99, I believe, a month, but I don't think they're really as big of a competitor right now. They have a lot of the same stuff. I don't use it, so I can't be certain. But do you think it's comparable?
Or do you think Netflix is? I think they hit, and I think I do agree that they're not. It's kind of apples to oranges. They are streaming.
I think they have a lot more TV shows, right?
Exactly. Yeah, they're more. They're kind of bigger because a lot of the it's more of an aggregate of the big broadcasting companies.
It's kind of current too. I think
exactly.
Right.
Right. So yeah. So with Hulu Plus, it gives you access to the current season and then all the episodes back in the season as it goes on. And then you can also get new episodes that come out. It's usually about a day later. You can watch the Colbert Report, last night episodes the next day. So it's more current broadcast television as where Netflix is kind of more outdated, maybe a couple seasons back, or something that came out in the 60s, 70s, or 80s, if you're into Star Trek.
All the Star Trek episodes are now.
Battlestar Galactica, if you want to go back that far.
Actually, I think just yesterday, too, though, they announced they just got a new deal with NBC to get, more of their current shows, actually, like The Office and 30 Rock and stuff, which are pretty popular.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think most people are angry with Netflix because they just see this as a price increase. But for me, do you guys get DVDs too?
No, we...
Or you're strictly streaming?
We're just strictly streaming.
So this doesn't even affect you?
Yeah, so I'm...
For me, I've had the same DVD sitting at my house for probably 4 months that I haven't sent back yet because I haven't even watched it yet. I don't take the time. The streaming service we use constantly, we watch it all day long. But I think I'll just cut the discs off, and I'm happy with just the streaming service, and I'm happy to keep it. I'm actually going to keep, I'm going to actually save money, save $2 a month by not using the disc that I really actually don't use anyway.
And, right, if you look at, how many CDs could you get or how many DVDs could you get off of just the one DVD at a shot?
I think it's at least a three-day turnaround if you watched it that night and sent it back the next morning. Okay. I bet it's at least... So, you're only looking at 10 anyway. You can...
But then you look at postage on top of that where it's almost a dollar round trip.
For them. Right. That's the big thing, I think, is that they're looking at their cost of this thing, whereas before, when they started out as the mail only, and then they added the streaming. When they first added the streaming, they allowed, an hour or 2 hours of streaming a month, I think. And but the streaming is becoming so much more of a mainstream way to consume content that it's just become a bigger service that they didn't think. I don't think they realized at the time that it would become such a huge hit. It's built more and more, and now that more people want more because everyone's like you said, it's old, all dated stuff, whatever. But the thing is, the distributors, the studios and whatever, they don't want to give it to them because they think it's going to hurt their DVD sales, and so they're charging them a buttload of money.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of those situations where they're like, okay, we'll give you some content, but then now that you're successful, now you're going to have to pay hand over fist for any new content or, you know, re-up of content, however they come to their agreements with whatever shows that they have available on Netflix. But, yeah, I mean, I just this looks to me like the price increase was – it was I would assume that they were losing money off of postage.
I mean, in the chat room, they pointed out that they have an agreement with the United States Postal Service, which I know they do, but it's still going to cost them money. I mean, they have to have physical distribution centers. They have to have people stuffing discs in envelopes, and right. You know,
so you gotta look at the warehouse costs, the on-hand cost.
And I think they're realizing that everyone's seeing the streaming services as they're getting the discs in the mail for $2, and it's worth more than that. Everyone's upset about this increase, but I think they're also trying to push people away from the DVDs altogether because the DVDs cost more, and I think they want to take that money that people don't necessarily need to be spending on that, save money from postage, and use it to put toward getting more content via streaming. I mean, essentially, it's a ways away, I think, still, but I mean, I think all content will be streaming before long, and if they can stay ahead of the game, they'll be the number one. I mean, they're already the number one source of internet traffic in North America. I think they have like 30% at some points during peaks. Right. I mean, which is big deal.
Yeah, I mean, if you're etching above, I guess I don't know no, the latest the, peer-to-peer.
The torrents were, torrents yeah, are, which but, I, they just list them all together, I think, which yeah. Seems funny. But yeah, the torrents were ahead forever, and they're still beating them in upload, obviously, because you're not uploading anything to Netflix, but
yeah.
But for coming down, and I don't know, it's just funny to me how people, I think it's the whole American mentality of we don't want to pay for anything. And I mean, because it's still a great price, even $16 to have the streaming service and the discs, if you actually use them, I think is still a reasonable price.
It's cheaper. It's still cheaper than your basic cable pass package. Plus you have better on demand. You have a better on demand experience. I don't even think you can get into Comcast without... I don't think you can get basic cable. I think you need, like, a digital cable package to even get to their on-demand service.
And then you're already looking at, like, $80 or something. I mean,
yeah, it's right, on top of, like, the lease in the cable box plus the digital package.
Tax.
And then you want to get it in high def, so that's, like, another $7 a month or $14 a month or however it works. So it's, like, all these additional prices, and it just... After it's all said and done, you know, out of your trial period of like 6 months, I mean, we were looking at the package that we had. I mean, it was going to cost us like $160, and right. That's outrageous. Like we looked at like, well, what shows do we watch where we would actually need Comcast other than for internet? And a lot of it was just broadcast TV,
right?
And we can get broadcast TV on Hulu. And then, Plus, and then or I mean, just throw up some rabbit ears.
There's obviously the convenience of having a DVR, which is pretty much a standard for any cable or satellite distributor at this point. But I mean, with the internet being the internet, I mean, all the major channels allow you to go back and watch the last 5 seasons online. There's a few ads, but I mean, if you're watching on TV anyway, there's going to be commercials. Granted, with DVR, you could skip those, but I mean, it's still free. So. And a lot of people look at Redbox as an alternative to Netflix, which is, I think, perfectly... I think it's just the same. Although, if you notice, they don't always get every new release either because of their distributing. You know, there's always someone that'll hold out. But then you still have to go drive there, and if you forget about it or forget to bring it back and it gets left in your car for a right. week, suddenly that's $7 more too. I mean...
I suppose you could get down and start adding fuel costs and time and...
Yeah, I mean, the convenience of Netflix is that it's at your door. You're going to get your mail anyway. Well, for the most part, I don't know how long that'll last either, but with the economy, the way it's going and the fact that there's no money. But neither here nor there. but I think all in all, I mean, people just see this as taking away something they deserve. They think this is their right now. I mean... Everyone's like, well, at least let the users get grandfathered in. And I mean, I understand that to a point, but...
It just gets messy.
It's not like it's such a huge price. Like, it's $6.
I mean, cable companies for like the whole grandfather thing were notorious for that. They'd let you ride on just crappy internet connection speeds at like 2 times the cost. I mean, we ran into that situation with Roadrunner, which got basically cannibalized by Comcast, and we were set at like a 6 meg connection at $250, you know, every single month. And it took us to call Comcast and be like, "Hey, we've been a subscriber ever since, you know, so and so date, when it was Roadrunner, and then you guys took over the Roadrunner network, and we want to get the better speeds." And we were able to get 50/10 for $50 less. So
which seems ridiculous.
I understand where they're just like, "All right, from here on out, prices are different." I mean, it just makes things easier. And obviously, this is not, you know, this is kind of for the worse, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, you get the tier models and the grandfathered in models, and it's just like, I think it's a management nightmare, to be honest with you.
Right.
But,
and I think everybody sees it as Netflix being greedy. And I mean, I think, honestly, they're trying to get better streaming content for the customers because they see that that's going to be what becomes the standard in down the road, I guess, in a few years, whatever.
Right.
And so they want to push people away from the physical disc to take that money and put it into the streaming content to get better content, which I hope they will be able to do. I hope they last through this because everyone's, you know, rebelling against them, but...
Yeah, and it...
But like you said, would they rather pay for cable? I mean...
I don't think so at this point. I mean, it's still a very economical choice. I mean, if you look at all the discs, and if you can find a series on the Netflix streaming that you like right now I'm going through MI5. If I were to buy independent seasons of MI5, $20 a pop?
At a minimum, $20 a pop. And that's reasonably priced.
Yeah,
and like the fact that it's like a British TV show, right?
Yeah, it's on...
Makes it even more, probably.
It was on BBC America for a little bit, and then they did some on... I saw some episodes on PBS for a while, but I mean, you got to go to Amazon.com, find the season one or whatever, and then order it, and that's $20, and then like, you know, $2, $3, $4 for shipping. You know, by the time you get through the whole series, which is about 9 seasons, you're looking at, you know, nearing like $200.
The other main point I want to make about Netflix is that you can't get away from the convenience. They're everywhere. They're on every major console. They're on, you know, your Apple TVs, your Roku boxes, your Google TV. And at this point, they're coming on TVs. I think Samsung, they have a Netflix widget on their TV. They're coming on Blu-ray players. I mean, Hulu Plus, do you watch it out in your living room? Or is it just in your Roku box?
I watch it actually in my Roku box.
In your bedroom,
right.
But we
do have it on, because Travis has a Xbox Live account.
Okay, and you can get it through that.
Yeah, now they just came out with Hulu Plus.
But see how there's, like, Netflix is so on top of that. They're the Angry Birds of, I mean, video streaming. Like, Angry Birds is just, if you have apps, you better have Angry Birds for phones, right? That's the way it is now. Like, do you have apps? Do you have Angry Birds? That's, like, the standard. And now it's...
Do you have a TV? Do you have Netflix?
How can you get Netflix? I mean, and people don't really look at, like, sure, all these people are saying they're going to cancel, but where are they going to go? Like, Hulu Plus? I mean, the only way is with that Xbox Live or a Roku box, which I don't think are super popular. I mean,
give or take. I mean, I guess I haven't ran through a Roku box owner in like the elevator, but like you will with like an iPhone.
But I think it's one of those things where it's kind of like there's a market for it, but it's kind of a lesser known like option. I mean, everybody sees Netflix everywhere. And right. Everybody, I mean, how many million? I don't know what the number is, but they have millions of users. And I think if they can survive this little bump of, you know, the mass exodus of supposedly people leaving, that...
I think it'd be interesting.
It'll make them better.
I think it'd be interesting to see who is actually affected by this increase, or actually this like bifurcated platform.
Like how many people are actually going to...
Who were in that $10 plan.
That actually care enough to go for the $16 plan.
Yeah, exactly. And who originally just started out with streaming only, or I don't know, whatever the $7.99 was.
And there's another point is that there's a lot of content. Netflix has a deal with Starz right now. Starz, the cable company, Starz, and Starz gets content from Sony. But in Sony's agreement with Starz, they can only allow a certain number of users to stream their TV shows or their movies. But what happened is when Netflix can't say, well, we only have this many users because everyone has access to the instant streaming. So with the streaming only, now they're going to be able to bring that content back by... I mean, there's people that get the discs and that's all they do. They don't have any kind of straight. I mean, there's people that can't even get high-speed internet, as odd as that sounds. But I think that's another huge part of Netflix's thing, is they want to allow that content to come back. And to do that, they have to actually say, well, these people are using the streaming service and these people aren't. By defining that line, I think they can show, you know, Starz / Sony.
Right, that they're, like, still within their agreement or whatever.
Right, and I think that'll help it, too. But we'll see what happens, I guess. I think Netflix will be fine.
They will be. A little backlash, a little whining.
But everybody's pissed.
Screaming. Let people just vent it out on some social media site, and then they'll just go back, sit on their couch, and watch Netflix anyways. So,
I mean, everyone says, you know, their streaming service is so far behind, but I think there's still enough content there to keep me wrapped up for a long time.
Yeah, I would agree to that.
I mean, like you said, you're watching MI5, is it? Yeah. And I just started watching Doctor Who, and there's like 5 seasons of that on there, of the current, let alone. Plus, if you want to watch Star Trek, I mean, you can watch that to your heart's content.
You can spend months watching Star Trek.
They just added Miramax. Lots of stuff. That's Netflix, I guess. Anything else you want to say about Netflix, Pat?
I don't think so. I think we can go on to the next on the chat.
If anyone paid attention to the anything, I guess, Spotify, which some of you may know is another music service similar to Pandora, RDO, Moog, Last.fm. There's more. There's a ton of services. Probably. But launched in the United States today.
Woo!
But
welcome to America.
You can only get you can buy your subscription. You can get into the premium accounts right now without any blue, but to get a free account, you have to have an invite from England, essentially. Because they've been out there for a while. Even though I got in, it wouldn't let me send invites to anybody. I got in via a little shortcut I kind of found. Actually, I found it on Lifehacker, is where I saw it today. But essentially, if you don't want to wait for an invite, you can go through a proxy server. There's one they give specifically if you want to go search Lifehacker for it, but that way it shows your IP address as coming from the United Kingdom. And then all you have to do is sign up, tell them you live in the UK, and then put a United Kingdom zip code in. And then after you activate your service, go back to the American site, log in, and just change your country and zip code, and you're in. So, I mean, that's one way around if you don't want to sit and wait. I mean, it's a little bit of a workaround, and it's not really that much work. But it's a way around it for now.
Yeah, if you know your way around setting up, you know, a proxy or connecting to a proxy.
There will be a ton of pop-ups, so I'll warn you now.
Is that true?
Yeah.
On the
through the proxy.
Oh.
Because whatever company had the proxy that was, it worked, had it, there just had a ton of pop-ups.
Oh, I see.
And they did no harm, claims Lifehacker, and they didn't. I did it at work, so whatever, I guess. But it worked fine, and the only thing is, with just the free service, you can't actually stream. You have to use only the desktop client.
Like, stream to your mobile device, right?
Yeah, like, I downloaded the app, and it wouldn't let me use it, even though I had an account, the free account, which was supposedly just basically ad-supported. But there's three tiers. There's the free, and then there's what they call unlimited, and then there's premium, which, in my mind, unlimited should be the last one. But, you know, who am I to make up these tiers, so whatever. But the unlimited plan, you get no ads, is basically the only new thing. But with the premium one, you get offline access. You get, like, you can download songs and use through their client, and then you can also take it. You can share. There's some exclusive content that they're supposed to have with the premium one. You can share with all three, actually. But I mean, everyone thinks that this is the best music. I mean, people are comparing it as the best music source out there as far as all these streaming options go. But I mean, I think it's a thing that it's because we didn't have it.
So it looks like, yeah, so the free version, you get like every so often 15 seconds worth of ads, between each song, I'm assuming, and then you can pay $5 a month to listen on your computer without ads. And then if you want to kick it up a notch on your mobile device, it's $10 a month for listening. But then you're saying that that's limited amount of listening on your mobile device? Or is that also unlimited?
No, it's unlimited.
It's unlimited also.
I just don't know why the last tier wouldn't be called unlimited.
I see. I gotcha.
Why would you call a middle tier unlimited when obviously it is limited because there's a tier higher?
Gotcha.
That just doesn't make sense.
Mike, send a letter to the editor.
Maybe to who? Spotify? Hey guys, guess what? You're stupid.
This is what I feel about your tiered planning.
I mean, the tiers are fine. It's the names that bother me.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, it's supposed to be a pretty good service. I haven't had a chance to play with it because, like I said, I tried to use it on my phone and it wouldn't work because I'm not going to pay for it right now when I have all my music in clouds anyway.
I might try to find that. I might try to do that proxy loophole and, you know, just give it a whirl on the desktop.
I'd like to play it. Yeah, I would have done it at work. I don't have speakers on my computer at work, though, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
It would have seemed silly to me to... But they also allow you to integrate the music you already have on your computer into theirs, which, whatever. It's just another music streaming source, but they're making a big deal out of it because it hasn't been available in the United States for so long. I think they just want...
Do they not have a bigger library than some of the available ones right now? Because I think they're boasting like 15 million songs or something like that.
Well, I think that... I know Mog has a pretty close to that, at least, and I'm pretty sure so does Ardio. I think they're all going to have little bits that are missing, and I don't know. It's another music source for your listening pleasures.
But, on that note, I guess, check out Spotify if you want to. It's by invite only or pay for their services.
You can get in right now if you want to pay. They'll let you pay. They're all about that. Why not? Go ahead and pay us.
Exactly.
But to get in for free, even though it's ad supported, you have to wait for now. Or go find the loophole on Lifehacker because they'll direct you. They give you pretty simple step by step instructions. So, yeah.
All right. So I think we can move on to the next topic, which is Comcast banned Seattle Man from internet for his cloudy ways. And that's.
Which just seems outrageous.
It does. So this poor individual who had Comcast services, 39-year-old gamer consultant in Seattle, Comcast shut him down after two warnings. And they are standing by that its policy that if you go over the 250 gigabyte cap, they give you a warning, and then they'll give you another month to kind of sort things out. But if you reach that cap again, or go over that cap again, then you're suspended for a full year. With no upgrade option, no, I can pay for more gigabytes to my plan. It's you're off and without internet, or you're gonna go to DSL.
You're out for a year.
You're done. You're out. You're punished.
I mean, and a 250 gigabyte cap a month. I mean, that seems outrageous to me. That how did he hit it? And on top of it all, he hit it uploading. He went to him and said, you know, there's no way I could have downloaded that much stuff. How is this even possible? But they said. Look, it uploading counts as part of it.
Right. And you know, and to Comcast's fault, they weren't giving him any insight as to what portion of his internet was reaching over that 250 gigabyte cap. They just said, you know, figure something out, you know, lock down your Wi-Fi router. Because it looked like he was sharing his Wi-Fi with some of his roommates that do a lot of heavy video streaming, so... He went to his guys and just said, hey, you know, just be a little bit conscientious of what you're streaming and downloading because we're reaching this 250 cap. And then the next month went on. They went over the cap. And Comcast said, you're done. Two strikes. Not even three. Just two.
Yeah.
And shut off his internet.
They didn't even tell him. They just all of a sudden, bam, he was out.
So they did. I mean, they were able to release that it was mostly upload. And it seemed like he was a pretty heavy user. I mean, the guy loves to rip music in lossless FLAC formats, which are which can amount to about a gigabyte or about a gig a disc.
So I mean, it's very high quality and whatever. And he was just backing everything up.
Yeah,
he was using all these cloud services to back everything he had up, which is smart and which, you know, all these marketing people tell you to do. Which, you know, all these cloud services are everywhere right now. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago about the how funny it is that everyone's rebranding as cloud service now, even though it's online backup. But that's not really the point right now. I mean, and that's what you should. I mean, you should back your stuff up. You should back it up somewhere else, and that's what he was doing. But they kind of he obviously had a lot more data than he realized.
Right. So I mean, on top of the lossless music format that he was choosing to upload in on these backup services, he's also an amateur photographer. So he was saving photos in raw format. And if anyone is familiar with that format, each picture can run about 10 megs. So if you're on a digital camera and just snapping away photos in raw format, I mean, that can add up pretty quick. He also disclosed that in his basement, he has a RAID server that can handle up to 12 terabytes of storage. And he said there's plenty of space on there, but, you know, he was using Mozy. His backup system, I guess, now is Carbonite. Before that, he was using Mozy because Mozy ended their unlimited data backup, and Carbonite has no such data as of right now, but throttles users after a certain upload point, but you can still continue to upload to them past that if it's like a per month basis or something like that. So I mean, it's interesting that Comcast is taking the stand that, you know, they're trying to preserve their network. They were suggesting, you know, if you have terabytes and terabytes of storage, you know, do it over a bunch of months. Don't do it all in 1 month for 250 gigabytes. But I think the other part too is that, you know, when the Comcast rep called him and they were talking to him like why they're ending their agreement, that would have been the perfect opportunity to be like, well, if you're a heavy user and this is your business, why not just go on to the lowest tier business cable package, which in our area runs you about, you know, $9.99.
Yeah, I think the low end is $60 a month.
$60 for like residential.
For business, I think the low end of business is 60. I'm not a Comcast representative, so you can't quote me on that. But
I'm just thinking of the services that we have, where our other site is like a 25 connection, and it's like $9.99 a month. So if there's like a tier below that, like a 10 something, or I wouldn't think there'd be a 10 something since there's like 15 or 16 at residential, but whatever.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
and if nothing else, they could have at least given him a warning. They didn't tell him the first month. They didn't tell him. I mean, they just thought he just got shut off. And I mean, obviously Comcast is coming into a lot of bad light as the bad guy here, which they really are, because why? What's the point of the cap? There's no need for the cap. They can handle it. They just choose not to.
Right.
And that, I mean, that'll get us into the whole net neutrality argument.
I think this is just totally like a clear cut case where like customer service just breaks down. I mean, this is one legitimate individual who uploads a lot of stuff to his server or to these online backup servers, but they had these caps set in place because of high heavy downloaders and BitTorrent users across their network. I mean, you can understand where the peer to peer networks could possibly saturate Comcast network. I mean, that's a plausible case, but for someone that's not doing peer-to-peer or has allegedly done it lightly for certain episodes over in the UK, but has said that he has terabytes of storage that he frequently uploads to like Mozy and
Carbonite
now, he's one of these individuals that just kind of just are caught in the crossfire against BitTorrenting and this 250 gigabyte cap on their residential service. So, I mean, I think this is just a poor policy that was set in place. He happens to be pigeonholed in that group, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, tough luck. You know, go find another service.
And in some cases, that he might not even have another option. I mean, a lot of places
like a legitimate, like, comparable option.
Right.
I don't think DSL in some areas is even comparable. So, I mean, I know Verizon has been trying to put out their fiber networks, but I mean, they're fighting tooth and nail with certain residential areas that Comcast serves as the last mile. So, I mean,
it's the net neutrality. It comes back around to it all. And I mean, sure. I mean, Comcast and the big owners of the lines all see, you know, they know that it's going to go to this cloud services. They know streaming is going to be the main way to go. I mean, we're even looking at video games with live. I mean, that's what's gonna be the future, and they all know that. That's why they're putting these caps on, is to try to. I mean, they think that they can't handle the service when. I don't know why they wouldn't be. I mean, make it happen. How hard? Like,
especially when Comcast is rolling out, or at least they're rolling out with DOCSIS technology, where they have the ability to bond upstreams and downstreams over multiple channels on coaxial. I mean, you would think that they would be able to invest in their network. I mean, for crying out loud, you give them the lowest tier service, or at least the lowest tier decent service for like 16 gigs or 16 megabits is, you know, 60 bucks. 70 bucks a month after like leasing and taxes, right. Leasing a modem and taxes. So you would think they would be able to build a decent infrastructure. Well, just based on that revenue.
And just looking at Google, you know it can be done. I mean, that's the stuff they do. I mean, they've what is Mountain View, where they have a free Wi-Fi. I mean, they have Wi-Fi free for everyone. I mean, they do all kinds of stuff where, you know, they're rolling out heavy lines, or there's that new company, I don't even know, that's in California that's running, like, gigabit lines.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name of that company.
I mean, for, like, 70 bucks a month, they're running that. I mean, right. there's companies out there that are trying to do these things. It's just that Comcast has such a hold on the market that no one else can get in, and they're just going to do what they want until something else, steps in.
Yeah, and, you know, it may not be this case that kind of just tips everyone over, but I think a lot of the pressure is going to happen with these cloud services that are coming out. These bigger companies like Apple and Amazon and Google, they're going to start putting pressure on these ISPs, saying like, "Hey, you're essentially snuffing us out of the market because you won't allow people to upload more than 250 gigabytes in 1 month."
And it's
more likely that people nowadays have gigs and gigs of data that they want to store.
And that's what's going to happen, is it's going to be Apple and Google and Amazon that's going to kind of have to push on these guys and, you know, get it open up more. But
so it's going to be interesting, and I'm going to actually enjoy watching this from the wayside. When
well, the know, sort of wayside, you have Comcast.
I guess I have
you
Comcast.
Will be affected.
I guess in some sense.
But whatever, you know, the follow-up may be.
Directly, you know, pointing my guns at Comcast right now, but... but yeah, I mean, it's going to take a louder mouth and a team of lawyers to kind of pinch these guys. So
it something will happen sooner or later, but we'll right. have to wait and find out what that is, whether it be Google and Apple teaming up to take on Comcast or
yeah, whatever. Once more of these cloud services are more mature.
And more users are comfortable using them, we'll say.
Right.
You know, but we'll see what happens.
We will see. All right. I think we can move on to Google Plus.
If you were one of those few people listening last week, you'll know that we were inquiring people to get us Google Plus invites. We were all sitting on the outside. And then as it turned out last Friday.
It was Friday.
The three of us actually got in Friday afternoon-ish, roughly 4:45.
We are finally a part of
thank
this
you,
private...
Thank you, Patrick Beja.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick Beja. Mike was able to grab... I was still at work. Mike clued me in on Patrick Beja. He was tweeting how he had some Google invites, and you could, if you replied to him on Twitter with your email address, that was a Google account email. It had to be a Google, I guess, right?
I don't think it is. I think it's open.
Okay, maybe I read that wrong.
So, well, I don't know for sure either.
So anyways, if you replied with your email, he would send you out invites, and we both got invites from Patrick Beja. So if you follow him, he's on Tech News Today sometimes. I forget what his podcast is.
He's French. It's hard to keep up. He does Movalicious or something with from Frog Pants.
Oh,
the Frog Pants Studios. I think he does a couple on the Frog Pants Studios, and then he's got some French stuff he does because he lives in France. Whatever.
He's in the tech podcasting world, so it was like I was being kind of christened into the technology something or other. I don't know, some weird happy feeling. I don't know.
It was right at the end of the work day, and I didn't want to leave. I wanted to play with Google Plus, but after having been using it for almost a week now, I guess I'm really starting to like it. Personally, I really enjoy the circles features of it. I've checked Facebook less, I think, but probably because I'm spending more time on. I don't think I'll by any means get rid of my Facebook, or my Twitter.
I mean
it'll I think it'll take a while. We'll have to see when it's open what happens with it, and when they start, you know, altering it little bits here, little bits there, fixing a few things they have going on. But overall, I like it a lot.
As of right now, I like the clean look to it. Isn't cluttered with suggestions, idea, or at least the circles concept, where you can literally just put anyone in a circle and you don't have to wait for an acceptance. So it kind of functions in a way that you can kind of follow anyone on Twitter. Or maybe that's not the case. Is it always the case on Twitter? There's not like any security restriction saying that you can't follow someone.
You can add that on Twitter if you want. You can have to request it. You can set it up so you have people have to request to be your friend.
Gotcha.
But I don't think that's used a lot.
Yeah. So I mean, I see it as being a good social network for both your work life, if you're like in broadcasting or communications of some sort, and then also you kind of have your home and your acquaintances and your family and friends. It's a kind of a good mesh, and it seems like, I mean, the circles are like the heart and soul of what Google Plus is trying to do. Like, right. Someone has to be in a circle. You need to at least have one circle, but it gives you flexibility to where you can post certain things in just one circle.
And you can share to individual people, too.
And, yeah, even at the individual level. Or if you want to make something public, if you're posting a blog or something or anything like that, you can just say, this is a public post, and it goes to all your circles.
It just goes public, so anyone following you sees it, not necessarily just those that you have. I mean, you can have people in your circle that obviously don't have, I mean, you can follow celebrities, obviously they're not right. going to follow you back. But when you share it, the people that are following you will see it, depending on what level of sharing you decide you want to have with that picture or that post or whatever right. it may be.
And I think that's kind of cool, where you could just follow celebrities, and there's kind of that sharing aspect that you can get with some, you know, other people that you would have some sort of disconnect to, or limited to 140 characters on like Twitter. So it's kind of cool in that.
The other thing is with the following is that the Hangouts are often public too. So, I mean, people get a lot of chances to possibly get a Hangout with us. I mean, if you're following people that are celebrities or whatever, or just people, you know, that to you are a celebrity, I guess. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people in the tech world that I follow that randomly, or Mark Hoppus of Blink-182, like, I randomly see that he's done a Hangout, and there's, if you're fast enough, because they can only have 10 people, so it's like everyone jumps in right away, but right. It's interesting. I mean, right before we went on, Kevin Rose had one running, and I mean, if I would have been faster or whatever, if I would have decided to jump in, you could just click Hangout now and join the group and talk to these people for however long they decide to check out this Hangout thing, so...
So yeah, so it's kind of a good, I don't know, it's an interesting take on social media. I mean, but it doesn't come without any, I mean, obviously it's still in beta, so there's a few little quirks. But there was also a great posting on, they were getting feedback, and then there was also new updates that were going to happen by the end of this week, was it? That there were some changes or some modifications?
Yeah, it was by... Within the week, I think, is just kind of how they worded it, so...
Okay. So, yeah, so there... I mean, a lot of good feedback. There was a site that filtered through 200-some different comments that Vic Gundortra?
He's one of the Google people running. Google. I think he might be the person in charge of the Google Plus operations.
Yeah, so he is the senior vice president of social at Google. Uses Google Plus account to post a message confirming lots of criticism about Google Plus. Not only, but before the end of the week, we should start seeing some changes to address some of those criticisms. So looks like tons of good feedback. I guess I didn't realize this because obviously I didn't spend enough time, but there's a 5,000 circle cap.
Yeah. they're going to implement that, so you can only have 5,000 circles.
Yeah, so if you can...
Which I don't think anyone has reached, but... I actually read an article, I don't know, Robert Scoble. He has currently 329, he stated.
Oh my gosh.
Or somewhere in that area, which...
I think I have five.
Yeah. Circles. I think you start with five, but... I think I have seven or eight, but I don't even really see why you would have that. I mean, 50 maybe. I mean, at the very most.
Jeez. I don't know what
you're trying to manage there. Depends on how much time you're spending on, I guess.
But the ability to overlap circles, I guess you could kind of argue, since you can add multiple people to different circles, maybe not a need for overlapping circles. There's also the circle in circle type.
Nesting.
Nesting of circles.
I think my biggest complaint, though, by far, is the comments, because they don't collapse.
Oh, that's right. So if you expand 200 some comments,
well, and you can't unexpand, and a lot of times it's not even collapsed to start, and so right away you're effed.
Gotcha.
As you just see all this. It takes forever to scroll through my feed sometimes, but for the most part, it's pretty good.
And this one actually here kind of hits me. Better integration of Google Chat with Google Plus. So if you're like in Gmail,
I've actually ran into that problem a lot this last week at work, because I always have Gmail open and I have Google Plus lately, and going back and forth, it gets weird. Like sometimes messages will be in both, and sometimes they'll only show up in whatever window I had open at the time.
Right.
And so when I switch to the other one, I don't know what it says. I don't know if you've had that same issue.
No, I do, because I usually do the pop out option where it's like its own window. So I have like our group chapter in the day, and then girlfriend, have her chat window up, and if I go to Google Plus and then you chat me, it goes to both, but then if I reply in Google Plus,
it doesn't show up, and then you're like, what did I say?
And then I close Google Plus and I'm like, I think this chat box will still work, and I think historically it has, but it's always,
and by historically in the last 4 days
in the last 4 days reputable knowledge.
I know what you mean. Because I've had the same issue. Like, just, and then they pop up. Like, I don't usually pop it out, and so then they change the sequence on me sometimes. So, like, if I'm talking to, like, if I have like three windows open of chat, sometimes they're not in the same order on the next page. So I really have to be careful who I'm talking to.
Oh, I've never seen that.
So I think, well, it's you popping out. That's why.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, popping out.
Pat's popping out.
Google Chat only. I don't know why it's even popping out. I'm not even going to go down that road.
But anyway, overall, I think I am very fond of Google Plus so far, and I will. I mean, if you want an invite, let us know. We can hand out invites. I sent like six people some right before we started today because I threw some up on Facebook.
Yep, I still have invites. So
I don't know if they're limited. I'm not sure.
It sounded like they were limited because Patrick Beja only had some.
I think I know what they were opening and closing the amount for a while, but I think right now it's been pretty open.
Oh, I see.
But I don't know. But while we're on the subject, they've already hit 10 million users. And they're projecting that by the end of this weekend, they might be at 20 million, which seems pretty crazy to me that it launched on, I think, the 28th, I believe, is when it originally launched.
Yeah, and I'm just going.
Although Google does, or Facebook does have 750 million. but still, 10 million.
And it could.
Oh, it launched. No, July 10th, just 6 days later.
You're pulling up the same article from geek.com.
Yep.
And could reach 20 million by this weekend.
I mean, but still. These aren't
confirmed numbers.
It's still technically beta. Although I think Gmail might technically still be beta, but.
Who knows? It's in a lab somewhere.
Google leaves everything in beta. But, I mean, it's not open to the public yet. Not anyone can just go and sign up. You do have to have an invite right now. But like I said, if you want one, let us know. Hit us up on our website or whatever. You can find us, I'm sure, if you're listening. You know who we are. So if you don't already have one, let us know. And I'd also like to thank Moses, because even if Patrick Beja wouldn't have come through, he did send me a text like 3 hours later asking for my email.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, and I got one last night from my brother-in-law. He's like, do you want a Google Plus invite? And I'm like,
That's old news. Come on.
Come on. It's Wednesday. It's already Friday I had it. Did you actually look at the mobile version of Google Plus?
Patrick and I both have iPhones, so we're only able to use the HTML. They have an HTML5. I mean, it's set up. I think it works beautifully, as a mobile website.
Yeah, like I saved a shortcut on my desktop. So it kind of looks like I have a Google Plus app.
Does it actually show it as a
Google Plus little icon when you save it?
Oh, nice.
And so all I got to do is just press that little button there that looks like an app, but really it's just a web page link. favorite, I guess, if you want to say. And then it just pulls up, yeah, right into Google Plus.
I should do the same thing. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I mean,
set it right.
It's limited.
Set it there, right next to Facebook.
You can. I mean, you can look at your streams. You can add people to circles. You can look at photos. You can look at comments. The only thing you can't do is upload photos or video or any of that kind of stuff.
Supposedly, the actual app for iPhone is being processed through Apple's, but I've heard that 2 weeks ago, so I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, but very, very usable, and it's definitely meant for a touchscreen environment, specifically. I mean, obviously, I mean, I think it's geared towards iPhone and iPad users, just the way that a lot of the touchpad interface or the touchscreen interface uses with like scrolling and such. But it's very, very responsive. A little bit slow if you're on 3G, but if you're on Wi-Fi, because there's a lot of content coming in, like videos and comments and stuff, it's a very enjoyable experience.
So, yeah, Google Plus. Go Google, I guess, in the words of Randy Orvis.
Google.
But yeah. Great. But I think that's our main stories. So, and we covered a few of our geek reports. But we'll just head right into our geek report then. Just some quick news. Google has announced their first... It's not really their e-reader, but it's the first e-reader to run Google Books, is essentially what it is. It's Google eBook Store or whatever. But I think they're launching at July 17th at Target. So very shortly. What, today's the 14th? Is that what we said? So 3 days? Monday?
Monday? What? Yes.
Monday might be the 17th. I don't know. Yeah. July 17th, though. And they're going to run for $139.99. It has a little, you know, keyboard. And, I mean, but the big thing is Google has a ton of free books. They have anything that's open rights, you know, that... All the classics that anyone can publish at this point, they're giving away for free, essentially. 3 million free titles, it says, so.
Yeah.
And hundreds of thousands for sale.
It's kind of at an interesting price point. Probably priced a little bit too high for what it can do.
You think? $140?
$140.
Seems to be kind of standard. They're all like $115 with ads is the cheapest one right now. The Kindle with ads is $115, I think.
Yeah. But no touchscreen.
Yeah. I mean, but with all the free books, it practically pays for itself, Pat.
All the free publicly domain books that are 75 years old.
But that's right. What everybody wants to read, right? Who doesn't want to read the classics?
I guess I'm not a part of that.
Pat hates literature.
I do. That is a lie. putting words into my mouth.
But yeah. But it's going to be called the iRiver Story HD. So yeah. Kind of interesting.
All right, and on to an article in Ars Technica in the Law and Disorder section. Article titled as "Judge Rules Locker Site is Not Direct Copyright Infringer." So if anyone was following this on ArsTechnica.com, let's see here. Let's just run through a brief. The case, which began in February, represented the latest front in the never-ending arms race between Hollywood studios and users seeking free copies of their movies. Hot File, a cyber locker site, users upload files they wish to share to other users and are rewarded financially if those files are proven popular. The studios alleged that the overwhelming majority of the files that were uploaded to Hotfile were copyrighted content and being distributed without the consent of the copyright holders themselves. Obviously, Hotfile, for its part, argues that they were providing an ordinary website web hosting service that is not responsible for the content users choose to upload. Hotfile lacks any interface for browsing or searching for the on the site, allowing a plausible denial of any knowledge of their content. The studio alleged that Hotfile relies on third-party pirated pirate link sites to host, organize, and promote URL links to Hotfile-hosted infringing content. So what basically happened here is On Friday, the judge threw out. There's two different charges that were being alleged here. There was direct and secondary liability. Judge Jordan threw out the direct infringement charge, and I guess made it plausible that since they had no knowledge of the content that's out there, however that law works, that they couldn't be charged under direct infringement charges. But they did not throw out the secondary liability charge because the case. So the case will now be processed to determine whether Hotfile, in fact, is guilty of inducing its users to infringe copyright. So, never-ending battle. And it's kind of interesting that they're actually paying for popular... They're actually rewarding users financially for popular files that they're trying to share. So, interesting take. But, obviously, if you're going to throw up a hosting service like that, there's going to be some copyrighted material on there. So,
never ending battle. In gaming news, we talked before about the fact that PopCap might be being sold, but it actually was acquired by EA for upwards of $1.2 billion. The number isn't exactly pinned down because of, you know, it's like stock, and obviously it's fluctuating, whatever. But it's quite a bit of money to buy that gaming PopCap. They Bejeweled, I think, and Plants vs. Zombies, probably their two biggest hits. EA, I think, most notably is known for their sports games, but it also has plenty of other games. First-person shooters, yada, 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 whatever.
All right.
Any
more on that?
Nope.
All right, so let's move on to another Google topic. Second quarter earnings are out for Google.com. So let's see here. Meanwhile, in the second quarter, Google had $6.92 billion in net revenue and non-GAAP earnings per share of $8.74. So showing that, let's see here. So showing that they had a, what was it here? I'm breaking down.
They made a lot of money. And they out-earned their projections that were given to them by, who gave them? The Wall Street Journal predicts things like this, I believe. I don't know. Just did fantastic. They're going to make money. They're Google. Can't be stopped.
They're Google, and it's going up. Google Plus is doing well.
Plus, after the announcement, of course, stock rose even more because everyone's like, hey, we're making money. Let's all jump on the bandwagon.
Exactly.
Funny thing is, like 2 days ago, I saw Kevin Rose post that he bought Google stock. Or he wanted it. I mean, he said that he thought, you know, they're making good decisions and products and whatever. So, I don't know. It's a good time to be Google, I guess.
It is.
Even though I think they're still being prosecuted, or not prosecuted, but investigated by the government. antitrust laws or something. Laws, yep. Probably not important, right?
Right.
Security, whatever. But I think that pretty much wraps it up for us, huh?
I think so. Running out of topics here to talk about.
And we're already hit an hour, so...
Doing pretty good. We're minus one individual here. So
of course you can always find us online at bleedgeek.com.
I guess we can give some. Are we going to give some shout outs for chat room?
Yeah.
Wrap things up here.
Go for it.
We'd like to thank Commander for joining us today. He hails from Wisconsin. I always forget where. Thief River, River Falls. He'll correct me here pretty soon. And also Vern Burton, which I think is in...
He's in Rochester.
There we go. I was trying to think. I was thinking Mayo Clinic. But yes, Rochester.
Mayo Clinic is in Rochester.
Well, Mayo Clinic is basically Rochester.
That's all they've got.
So yeah, want to thank those guys. And there's a few other guys that popped in and out here.
I saw Josh pop in there. The winner.
Jay Money.
Oh, that Josh, too. checking us out.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you were talking about Josh
Nyman, the lucky recipient of our Bose headphones that we gave away in our contest.
Oh, and Commander corrected me. He's like, I'm just over in Woodbury. You're a Minnesotan. Get back over state.
But yeah. But if you have any questions or comments or any ideas or anything, you can always hit us up at our email, which is
fans@bleedgeek.com. Took me a while to think of that.
Or if you want to give us a call, we have a phone number. You can leave us a voicemail, which we would potentially play on air. That's 406-79-GEEKS, which is 406-794-3357. And you can always find us on our website, which is bleedgeek.com. We have a Twitter. You can follow us at bleedgeek. Facebook is Facebook/bleedgeek. Pretty straightforward, I think.
And I think there'll probably be soon a bleedgeek Google Plus account.
Yeah, easily.
We can set that up very easily. So see that in the near future.
And we're considering moving into other podcasts as well, besides just our weekly tech news podcast. Yeah, so if you have any ideas about that, let us know about that too. Next week we'll be coming from you from a special location, so that'll be interesting.
Yet to be disclosed, or have we disclosed and, it yet?
Well, technically to the show last week, but then it went away, so technically not.
I think we're safe.
So we're still safe, except for the people that are listening live. but
yes, new location, temporary.
But yeah. But otherwise, you can also follow us personally. Mine is at Mike037.
And mine is at HammockTime, and that's with a Y instead of an I.
And Randy's is at Crandall111, if you care about him or not. I guess he's not here, so F him.
And just let him know that we floss with his pillows.
Right.
To him. And if he wants to know what flossing means, tell him to Google it.
UrbanDictionary.com.
There you go.
But I think that's all for us.
Yeah. That wraps it up. I'm signing off, so...
I'm Mike Earl.
And I'm Patrick McGivern.